Murdoch University is the provider of resources and transmission facilities for the 6 Points podcast. The views expressed on the show are those of the individual and not necessarily those of Murdoch University or Radio Murdoch. All views expressed are those of the individual unless otherwise stated.
There's a spillage across half back pod. Let's pick the ball up. Matt White now running down the wing of Etihad Stadium. He takes a bounce, takes a second bounce. Richmond might catch him. Here he's burnt off his opponent. Matt White takes a third bounce, runs inside the 50 from 49 metres out. He unloads, open goal square, goal!
Ebert pumps it into the forward 50. Wingard. Oh, Wingard! Oh, baby, there's your mark of the year. Get around him, boys. Oh, he's played on. Oh, he's kicked it anyway. Wingard, what a star.
Good Tuesday, footy fans. Welcome to the 6 Points for another week. My name is Robert Beaver. And across the desk, a man who saw the Harlem Globetrotters on Saturday night, Sean Subra.
Babe, good to be here, mate.
How were the Globetrotters?
Oh, you're up, mate. Now,
yeah, English is hard.
You know, Globetrotters are good, mate. From Harlem, some of the original team.
What were they doing? Just dunking, trampolining?
They were playing the Washington Generals, which is their rival team. And Generals haven't beat them since, I think, 1973.
Did they win?
Yeah.
So the record's intact. Record's intact. That is all that matters. And to my right, newest member of the 6 Points crew, social media guru and amateur C-grade Colts player.
Sees.
Declan Byrne.
Thank you for the welcome, Rob.
Yeah, no worries,
Declan. Could have talked it up a bit more, but I'll like that.
Amateur. Amateur. Is that right, wrong? Would you say you're better than an amateur?
Amateur.
I would say amateur is the perfect word.
Amateur is the perfect word.
In fact, amateur is probably embellishing it a little bit too much for my liking. I prefer the term spectator, although I am on the field.
Lovely work. As always, a brief moment before we get rolling to let you know how you can get in touch with the show. One, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the6points. Two, email us at 6pointspodcast@gmail.com. Or three, tweet us on the Twitter machine at 6pointspodcast. Now, of course, if you like the show, you can hit us up with a review on the iTunes store as well. That would be great. We'd love to hear from you. Now, lots to get through on today's show. It's a big week in footy, guys. Sean, he'll take aim at Hurdy later in the show. There's Dream Team predictions. We'll discuss all the reports and tribunal findings. But first, as always, let's rewind it all the way back to Thursday night. Sean, let's get stuck into another week in footy.
Thursday night, Fremantle v Collingwood over at Domain Stadium. Fremantle, they came out of the blocks early with the first. Now, the last time they played a Melbourne team at home, they conceded 8 goals in the first quarter, so they definitely wanted to get one on the board very quickly. It wasn't much good, though. Pies came to play. They don't travel much, but they did come with intent. It was a hard game for different reasons on Thursday. The opening fireworks took a bit of a while to clear on a low wind night in Perth, and the Pies players were camouflaged in the thick smoke. Quite an odd start, other than the thick air. Fremantle had all of the ball and attack, but then it completely flipped in Collingwood's favour as they went on top with their great pressure. Really close game with 8 lead changes, 2 in-form teams battling it out. Fife was held pretty well early, but he managed to get back into the game later. Walters, he had a superb game, booting 4. He looked really exciting when he was near the ball. He also kicked the goal at the end of the third to draw the game and give them momentum going into the fourth. Pavlich, he was held goalless, so Walters really did have to stand up. Credit to the Pies. They put up a good fight. Fremantle with just a bit more class and experience when it was needed. Final score from Domain, Fremantle 12-8-80 to Collingwood's 11-7-73. Now, Pendles, he's a bit of a talking point. He had an unusually long break in the third quarter, and he was in sandals in the airport when they arrived home on Friday. Took note of that one, Rob. Still had a great game, but we'll keep an eye out for him this week.
Why is the sandals relevant, Declan? Do you have any news on this?
Like, well, everyone else was in sneakers, and he was in sandals.
Is there an injury in the foot somewhere?
Leg issue. Not sure what exactly. I think it'll be fine, because there's been no reports out from Collingwood, but he was in sandals.
There's nothing wrong with sandals.
Yeah, no, sandals are fine. But I guess we're not used to them travelling, are we? We don't really see Collingwood at the airport.
There's nothing wrong with sandals for a spectator, Declan. As a player.
Yeah, I love my masseur sandals. And quite frankly, that's the only massage I get down there. So I understand where Pendles is coming from there. They're a great invention.
Now, it feels like the shine has just gone away a bit from Fremantle. Now, you can probably shed a bit of light on this, Declan. I just feel they're not as dominant that they have been in the first 10 rounds. They're still two games clear, though. So are they still a lock for top two at the end of the season?
I think they've probably got one of the better draws out of all the teams that are going for the top four. I'd like to think they'd finish top two. I think the shine has sort of disappeared a bit because we've sort of seen Pav drop off. It was very hot early in the year. Obviously, the conditions haven't really been conducive to him playing his best footy. He's played over in the Gold Coast and Adelaide. It was wet. It was slick. He's a big, tall man. He's not going to be able to clunk them grabs. Obviously, Tabner as well was playing in those games. He's been an omission. He's gone back to the Waffle and scored four pretty nice goals. I think they'll come good. I think at the moment, it's just a bit of a blip on the radar and it won't be worrying Ross Lyon at all.
Okay, Collingwood now. I thought their effort was pretty sensational, and this game shows that I think that they are a general finals contender. But they've got three hard games up next, and if they lose all three, they'd go 8-7 and probably outside the top eight. What do we see happening for Collingwood in the next month?
Yeah, I think, look, Collingwood's early form was deceptive and there's been a lot made about their early draw, and you would suggest that they probably would fall down at some point throughout the season. Having said that, though, I thought Fremantle, after a week off, we know before the bye they were looking a bit tired, maybe not quite with it. I thought Fremantle were going to come out and just absolutely wipe the floor with them. Yeah. And Collingwood really, really stood up. Maybe that says a bit more about what Fremantle's doing and what they've got going on. But, I mean, I thought Collingwood were going to drop off 4 weeks ago and it hasn't happened yet. So I'm quite hesitant to say that they probably will. But, I mean, we'll see. Buckley, I hate to admit it because I never think that they should have gotten rid of Moldhouse and that whole successor plan was crap. But I hate to admit it, but Buckley's actually got them playing really good footy right now. So, I mean, when I was in Melbourne and they came back from, I think, 39 down at halftime to end up stomping over North.
North, yeah.
I mean, they can be very convincing. They play really good footy when they get it together.
Good. Good luck to them. Some goals to wrap this one up. Walters finished with 4, 5, Hill with 2, Ballantyne, Barlow, Pearce and Neil all with 1. For Collingwood, Elliott, Fasolo with 2, Broomhead, Penderbury, Adams, Degoe, Crisp and Blair all with 1.
Sydney and Richmond, 37,000 into the SCG on a Friday night, but it seemed like less. There was not a lot of voice from the crowd in this one. It was quiet. It was actually quite disappointing. Now, Sydney coming off the bye, Richmond looking to atone from last week's loss to West Coast. The 2005 Premiership reunion was also going on, so the fans definitely turned out for that for the Swans. Now, Rance re-signed last week, as we all know, and may well have regretted it before the opening bounce. He and Lance Franklin engaging in a bit of well-spirited pushing and shoving, going to the ground, you know, just trying to win that mental battle. It was really, really good telly early on. Now, Buddy tackled Rance about 2 minutes later, and it was identical to Gibbs's from last week, but nothing done about it. That's just my personal vendetta against the decision made against Adam Gibbs there. Now, Adam Goods, a little bit of quarter-time push and shove started by him, of all people, for no reason at all. One of his teammates pushed a Richmond player into him a bit, and Goodsy just took offence. Why bother, Goodsy? It just gives more people reason to boo you. Now, the Swans were dominating, but a sour note will be the report, obviously, of Buddy Franklin, which we will get to later in the show, that bump on Shane Edwards. Now, at the half, it was a 32-point Sydney lead. Gary Rowan definitely bogged at this point. I thought he absolutely killed it in the first half.
Oh, he's going well, wasn't he?
He was going well. Faded pretty badly in the second half. But it was a really good start for him. Now, an interchange free turned over a shot at goal for Richmond and gave the Swans a shot on goal down the other end. This is in the third quarter, and it was put out on the full. So they definitely didn't make use of that. But this is only the second time ever I've seen this rule paid. And this one in particular was Edwards coming back onto the ground before his 20-minute compulsory concussion period was completed. So even though halftime had come and gone, obviously it's based on game time, not actually time elapsed, which I think might be a bit bizarre. I don't know how they can do that. But anyway,
it was a big mess.
It was a big mess. Yeah.
Oh,
they couldn't. The umpires didn't know what was going on. The players had no idea. It was an absolute shamble.
I think it was the only time I ever felt sorry for Ty Vickery as well, because he was lining up for goal. And
he I think he clunked a couple of marks in that third quarter as well.
Yeah, he was looking the goods.
Taken away from him as well.
I've heard that it was Ty's dad's fault, though, that the whole thing happened.
He
was on the exchanges, his fault. So he's got no one else to blame but his father.
Dinner table.
So second free kick that I've seen for taking out the legs was paid to Ellis, and the Tigers gold again. Look, they really hit a patch of form in the third. got it to within 7 points, and all of a sudden, early in the fourth, they had a 9-point lead. 10 minutes to go, there was only 7 points in it, but you felt watching the game that it was done and dusted and destroyed, and that's pretty much how it stayed. In the end, an 11-goal second half saw the Tigers come away with victory in this one. Final score, 11-11-77, the Sydney Swans, and the Tigers 14-11-95. Now, we'll address the Buddy and Tippett reports here very, very quickly, even though we will mention them a bit later on as well. Now, Buddy Franklin, you've all seen the vision, just runs over the ball, collects Shane Edwards. I mean, for me, I thought he should have got somewhere between 3 and 4. What did you guys make of that?
I was thinking straight away, I thought 3, probably 2 with a plea.
With a good record and an early plea pass,
well,
perhaps?
Well, yeah, if he had a plea, I thought he'd bring that to good records, you know, if Buddy, so
that's the thing. He hasn't actually been suspended a lot, but he's always the type of person that's around, and he's kind of aggravating and in trouble. I mean,
spot at the MFA.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like an asterisk, like clean record, but you know, Declan, what do you think?
Oh, look, Buddy's a big man. He should know that he's carrying a heavy load. If he's going to run over someone like Edwards, he's got to be really careful. Especially tribunal tend to. To judge things more so on the impact and the injury sustained by the player.
Yeah.
He was just lucky that Edwards got up as quick as he did, and he did spend the mandatory 20-minute concussion. But yeah, Buddy's a very lucky man, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with you. Now, the Kurt Tippett report as well came out of this one. Of course, Richmond player goes back. He marked the ball. It was almost like a straight elbow to the left-hand side of the face there. Again, probably helped by the fact that the Richmond players are so tough and didn't really, A, retaliate, or B, make any sort of big deal out of it. I mean, he's got 1 week as well. I think this is probably about right. I was thinking 1 to 2, but I think one week for Tippett's probably all right.
Look, it's just sloppy play from Tippett. Yeah. Like, it's just unneeded. It's just sloppy. I don't think, if you look at both of them side by side, I don't think they could probably be the same. I know you're not supposed to compare incidences.
Oh, but inevitably everyone does.
Yeah. But when you look at them side by side, they're both not a week. No. They had to be different, but...
Yeah, that's fine.
And Tippett never really took his eyes off the ball. Unlike Buddy, he shifted his eyes and lined up Edwards. Tippett had his eyes right on the ball the whole time. And unfortunately for him, it was just a little bit errant in where he directed his swing and
right elbow,
cleaned someone up.
Anyway, so $1.8 million sitting on the pine this week for the Swans. So it's a really good investment. People giving the Bulldogs crap about signing Tom Boyd. At least he plays. Now, last point, Rance's job on Buddy. Did he prove that he deserved that contract? I know, I think Buddy was definitely affected by the report after halftime. In the first half, he did get a couple of goals, but he didn't really dominate the game, even though he sort of hit those goals. I mean, what did you guys think? Did Rance live up to that hype?
I loved his game on Friday. He was sensational. And it wasn't that he was just closing out Buddy and punching the ball over the line. He was marking the ball and then running it through the corridor. There was one play when there was a sort of kick. It was just outside the 50, and it was Buddy and Rance both running for the ball. And Rance just took a risk, backed himself, and out-sprinted Buddy, took the ball, ran it through the corridor again. Sensational game. And yeah, I guess he's looking like he's worth it.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Re-signing.
Yeah. Great value for money, in my opinion. He might be getting a lot, but at the end of the day, he's going to be there. I mean, we see Luke McFarlane is playing. He's, what, 33 almost now?
Mm.
If Rance can carry on as long as McFarlane, he could be looking at being one of the all-time greats in AFL football.
No, 100% agree. So a couple of goal kickers for this one. Franklin, Parker and Rowan all kicked 2 for the Swans. And, of course, Jack Riewoldt headlined the Richmond forward line with 6.
The Bombers, Hawks v Essendon, they couldn't repeat the upset win they had back over the Hawks in round 2. Sticking to an old cliche, this was a game of 2 halves, and the first half was easily the better of the two. It's a shame the Bombers couldn't put together 4 quarters of footy, because if they had, we could have been looking at one of the all-time great clashes between these two famous sides. Had Essendon kicked straight, the Hawks might have struggled a little bit in the to come back into the game like they did in the second half. Firstly, boys, I just want to raise a point with you. Sam Mitchell's needle in the arm. Do you guys have a problem with that at all? Was that fair game?
Look, if you look at it technically, I mean, anything kind of race, religion, depression, that's when sort of things come up. I think it was just a bit of a heat of the moment kind of taunt.
Bit of white line fever.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about this a bit later, but if he hadn't done any action and just had all been verbal, then no one would have known, and it wouldn't have been talked about right now. So it's such an odd one. I think it was just a bit of a slip of the mind from Sam. And
Yeah,
just the heat of the moment.
I'm very torn about this, because I think that the act was idiotic. I think he's made a complete dick of himself, let's be honest. But having said that, I also think that the world's too politically correct. And I'm like, okay, it was a little bit of sledging. Like, did it hurt anyone? No, no. It might have been sensitive, and obviously it's not a good image for the game either. But I'm super torn on this one. The blog article I wrote this week basically labelled Sam Mitchell as an idiot, and I stand by that for what he's done. But at the same time, I think, like you agree, like you should be able to sledge and say whatever you want. I think it's the action.
Well, they do.
That, well, obviously they do as well, but I think it's the action that really sort of gets to this. And I know he addressed it sort of immediately after the game, but he never actually apologised.
Yeah,
he just said,
apologize.
In hindsight, I shouldn't have done it. And that's not the same as saying, yeah, my bad.
Like, I think that's the worst thing about it. Like, you can say he's an idiot for doing it, but I think he's an idiot for doing it and then after the game saying, oh, it's not what you want to see at footy.
Yeah.
Well, you just did it 20 minutes ago.
Oh, you don't want to see that at the footy. My kids are here. And I'm like, yep, yeah, well, cool. Maybe you should think about that next time. But I'm pretty torn on it, but overall, not a good image for the game.
See, I'm the opposite. I love that sort of stuff. I absolutely love seeing players get out there and get amongst it. Obviously, sensitive issue, and it's still sensitive.
Hmm.
If the wider investigation had been completely wrapped up and Essendon had been found to do no wrong, currently they're still under investigation, obviously, so it is difficult. I wouldn't have had any problem whatsoever with it, because at the end of the day, no matter what Sam Mitchell does, Essendon are innocent. Having said that, I understand what he says, that he doesn't want kids at the game seeing that sort of thing and thinking it's appropriate. But I think it was clever. Should he have done it? No. Will he do it again? Probably not. But at the end of the day, it's the sort of thing that you like seeing in footy, like just a bit of banter between the boys.
Yeah.
It's just a shame the cameras happened to pick it up on this occasion.
Yeah. That's the thing. If the cameras didn't get it, then we're not talking right now. Yeah. It's just and they only got like a little glimpse of it. It's not even
good. Like, all the angles that they have is blocked by Essendon players because they've gotten it from a camera that's sort of straight on. So
I'm fairly sure even Kyle Hooker cracked a smile.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I think Kyle Hooker took his mouth guard out and had a bit of a giggle. Yeah, but moving on, Jakey Carlisle went down with an ankle injury, which I think has been confirmed at 4 to 6 weeks. Much maligned, obviously, he's gone forward, hasn't had as much success as James Hurd would have liked. He's in a moon boot. Will he be missed up forward, considering how badly he's been playing?
This is something, and I read this when you sent me the game report, and I thought to myself, oh, yeah, you know, they've got to miss him. He's key. When he's on fire, Essendon can actually be a good team. But let's be honest, Essendon's season's shot. They're going nowhere.
Yeah.
He's a good player, but taking him out doesn't mean that Essendon are going to play any worse. Like, how can they get any worse than what they're serving up at the moment?
You may as well mix it up while you got the chance.
Exactly.
Run the season off, put some young players in, get some experience on the field.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, you'd like to have your best 22 out there, but I don't think the difference between Essendon's best and Essendon's worst hinges on Jake Carlisle's performance, frankly. So,
Unfortunately for Jake Carlisle and for Essendon as well, there are a few teams after his signature. I've heard Western Bulldogs are quite keen on the
well,
dogs.
You know, we do have a functioning forward line now, so anything we can do to add to that, thumbs up.
Oh, we can always send him down back. That's
exactly.
The beauty of Jake Carlisle.
It's a beauty of a utility.
And the Blues as well. So I'm not really sure whether he's going to want to go from Essendon to the Blues. It might be taking a bit of a step sideways.
Yeah,
off.
Well, geez.
But you never
bullies,
know.
Yeah, up and coming, the Bulldogs. Get on the train. Yeah,
that's Rob Sales' pitch
wrong.
Right there.
Yeah.
Jake Carlisle, if you're listening, get on board the Western Bulldog train.
Be more Bulldog. Exactly. Wrap it up with some key performers for this one for us, Declan.
Yeah, no worries. Michael Hurley was very impressive playing fullback for the Dons, and Zach Merritt for the Bombers as well. Sam Mitchell, controversy aside, played very well. Jared Ruffhead, show he can be a midfielder basically in a big tall man's body. He had 29 and a goal. And Poppy Puopolo was also very impressive with 4 goals. So, yep, happy to see the Hawks get the win. So, let's see if they can back it up this week.
Brisbane v Adelaide now on Saturday. It was a big game for both teams. Crows looking to lock in a top 8 spot and Lions wanting some back-to-back wins at home. Good start for the Lions, kicking goals and disallowing the Crows any kind of fluidity. Due to the Lions' pressure and Crows' low kicking efficiency, it took Adelaide 25 minutes to kick their first goal after the Lions already had 3. Brody Smith got the Crows going with a 60-metre bullet that only went a couple of metres off the ground. Ex-skipper Nathan Van Berlo went a bit colourblind and handballed it directly to Brisbane, to which Pierce Handley finished up with a stunning fake and goal. One effort which I just wanted to point out, the whole game his effort was really good. There's just this one play I want to talk about. Mitch Robinson. Now, yes, he's got issues, but his effort was just sensational. Not a pretty player that I know Rob likes, but definitely gets the job done. Matt Wright, he had a certain goal running it through the centre square, and on the last line of defence, defence. Mitch dived and spoiled. That's what he was really brought to the club for, that kind of aggression and that kind of want. Now, some big news for the Crows camp. Rory Stallone, he injured the same cheekbone as earlier in the season. He was subbed out and he is expected to miss 6 weeks. Really unfortunate for him and the club. He's such a great magnet and really hard player. And then after that, Pierce Hanley, he was subbed off for the Lions with tightness to his hamstring. So two players that you don't expect to get subbed off for both clubs. Crows kept coming in the second half, but Lions kept pushing out the margin to about 24. It was 24 at three-quarter time. Then the Crows, they just unleashed. They had all the run in the last. Lions, they just ran out of legs as Adelaide booted 6 unanswered goals to record another win on the road. Final score for this one, Brisbane Lions 10-9-69 to Adelaide's 11-16-80. Brisbane had a really good effort, I thought, for the first three quarters. Really just lost the plot, I guess, in the fourth quarter. What do they work on now going into the next round against the top of the table, Fremantle?
Oh, I think it's just, you know, that consistency across four quarters. And I mean, for three quarters, they served it right up to Adelaide, and I thought your boys were done and dusted at three-quarter time. I can imagine you would have gone for a walk to Woolworths or something during the three-quarter time break. But look, full credit to Adelaide. They came back. But, I mean, Brisbane, I dare say it, but I think Brisbane might actually be on the right path.
Look, I think they're on the right path. I think they're just not used to success and winning in the first three quarters. Yeah. They weren't ready for it, and they kind of used up. They spent all their coins early, and then the fourth quarter game, and they couldn't do anything. Like, Adelaide were just running in between them, and it looked like another rendition of the Harlem Globetrotters played the Washington Generals because they were just running through the gaps and kicking easy goals in the fourth quarter. So against Fremantle, well, what do they do?
Yeah, well, I mean, unless they can get on a similar run and they can sort of boot 8 goals in the first quarter, because we all know apparently that's the way to beat Fremantle is to get the jump on them. But look, I don't think Brisbane really stands a chance against Freo. But having said that, it'll be a good test. I mean, I thought Collingwood was gonna have the mop out, but they showed up and gave four quarters effort. And I think if Brisbane can give four quarters, I mean, at least they can, you know, show something. I think the worst thing would be if Brisbane takes a step backwards after leading for three quarters this week against Adelaide.
So. And the talk is that Tommy Rockliffe might be coming back in, which is a huge thing for him.
He's on your bench.
He's on my bench for Dream Team, so I'd like to think he's going to come back in and absolutely dominate. Not too much, Tommy, because obviously I want the Dockers to still get the win. But, let's get back in that side, eh? If Justin Lippisch is listening, pick him up.
How much money do you have sitting on your bench if Rocky's sitting on your bench now? He's been out for a while, hasn't he?
He's dropped 200K though.
He's
dropped 200, so what's he making, half mil?
I picked him up the week he busted his ribs again, so that was a little bit disappointing, but obviously the person that's feeling worse out of that is Tom, so hopefully he gets back out in the field soon, because not only is he great to have in your Dream Team, he's a great player to watch as well.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Let's talk about Adelaide's kicking efficiency now. I don't think it's sustainable, and it's something that really needs to be fixed. They really can't keep winning like this. Tex, he kicked 2 goals, 5. Tex,
bring the mullet back, Tex.
Yeah, do bring the mullet back, Tex, and kick straight. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, there's a lot of talk from Phil Walsh about the artistic game and the messy artistic game and whatever Phil Walsh is.
The Vincent Van Gogh or whatever he's banging on about the other week.
And the Granville gets, that's all Phil Walsh is really addressing. But I think he needs to get him on the set shot and start kicking some goals.
I think what needs to happen is they need to get Eddie Betts firing again. A month ago, I think he had three or four games in a row, we kicked 5 goals.
But
the last really couple of weeks, he's been pretty quiet.
And his only goals that he's kicked have been gifted to him.
Yeah, Charlie Cameron gifted him one in the goal square. So, I mean, if they can get Eddie Betts up and about, I think that's a real barometer for that team. And, I mean, obviously, it doesn't necessarily improve your goal kicking, but, I mean, if Betts kicks 5, then I'm guaranteeing that your team's probably going to kick more goals than points, because Betts is pretty accurate. He doesn't really have games where he kicks 2 goals, 5 or whatever like that.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Pretty
sad. Doesn't have Travis Cloak games.
One word, guys. Where do you see Crows come September?
Look, I'm optimistic.
Of course you are, yeah. I think at the start of the season, we both had them in 7th or 8th, possibly like that. But I mean, there's been a lot of surprises this year. I didn't think Collingwood would make the 8th. The Bulldogs looked like they might even push with an easy draw as well. So
I reckon it's still around the 7-8 mark. I don't reckon they're going to do much in September, but I reckon they're still going to be in that run.
I think that 6-10 mark is where about 7 teams will fall, and it's only 4 places. So it's going to be a really hot contest for those last 2 places in the 8. the Crows are there. I think the Crows will probably fall just short this year, just based on their recent form and everything. There's a lot of injuries. There's more Dangerfield speculation. There's just things that are...
Danger.
There's a lot of things not working in the Crows' favour at the moment. So,
okay, some goals to wrap this one up. For Brisbane, Leuenberger finished with 2. Had a really good game, Leuenberger. Hanley, Christensen, Robinson and Redden with 1. For Adelaide, Betts with 2. Jenkins and Walker with 2. VB, Cameron, Wright, Smith and Thompson all with 1.
Sam Fisher, a late withdrawal for the Saints-Bulldogs game at Etihad Stadium, replaced by Delaney. But Delaney not listed as an emergency, so the Saints facing a 20 grand fine from the AFL for that late change.
Wow.
Former Dog and now Saint Farron Ray playing his 200th game. And just a reminder of how quickly time passes, boys. I remember having the newspaper article for when Ray was drafted to the Bulldogs in 2003, blue tacked onto my wall in my bedroom. Crazy to think that much time has passed already. Now, Dogs, they kicked the first, but the Saints were doing really well to stop them off halfback. They were forcing them to kick backwards or long down the line. Lots of difficulty breaking through the midfield with any purpose for the Doggies. Despite this, the Dogs' defense was holding up really, really well, and the Saints had 17 inside 50s for the quarter, but only the one goal. Jack Stephen hacked the ball 40 metres down the line, bend it like Beckham style. One of the most remarkable things I've seen in an AFL footy field in quite a while. It was marked by a Saint inside 50. Just beautiful, beautiful skills. Now, really tough, tight defensive game with both teams combining for a measly 6 goals at the half. But the Saints would have been more upset than the Dogs, I think, after dominating the first half of play. Now, the Saints, look, they replied with intent to run and carry, breaking off halfback and kicking the next 4. Sorry, the Bulldogs did. But the Bulldogs, they still weren't super clean. The Saints were still pressuring them around the ground, and it was really difficult to watch for me. The Saints did peg one back, and the margin was only 10 points at three-quarter time. Set up for a really tight tussle to finish this one off. 21-point Dogs lead, though, with 9 minutes to go. And then Nicky Riewoldt kicked one. Bruce kicked another, and all of a sudden it was only 9 points with 7 minutes to go, and you felt the Dogs were worried it could be another comeback, and it was shaping that way. St Kilda just peppering the goals. 2 minutes to go. 1 straight kick in it. St Kilda had their chances in this one, but Easton Wood really stood up for the Doggies, and they held on for a 6-point win. Final score, St Kilda shot themselves in the foot with 7 goals, 14-56. Western Bulldogs, 9-8-62. Now, I mentioned him just briefly at the end there, but Easton Wood leads the league in intercept marks in the past 7 weeks. Guys, all Australian he's got to be, doesn't he?
I think he's in most years, most people's mid-year team. So if he can carry that form through for the rest of the year, then
definitely. 100%. Great start. Let's see if he can follow up. Rob?
He'll follow up. He'll be fine. Now, Jared Grant, Bulldog as well, more than a few times in this game, he just gave hospital handballs in traffic. He didn't look confident. Now, should he be dropped for next week, or do you persist with a player that doesn't have confidence? There's a fine line between dropping him doing more harm than good. What do you think?
Jared Grant's one of those kind of Pittard type players. He would do something really good, but then like the next 4 things will be like what we're talking about there. look, a tough one. Who have they got next week?
I don't know.
No idea.
God, I can't remember.
Carlton. He'd probably play him, I guess.
Against Carlton, you think he might kick a bag or something?
Yeah. Just, I mean, when you play in teams like that, you would try and get the confidence up, I guess.
Exactly.
But yeah.
Luke Beveridge knows exactly what he's doing as well. Like, he's dropped Will Minson. He's come back in and played some good footy. Obviously, he got subbed on the weekend.
Yeah, that's the second time he's been subbed at three-quarter time. Yep.
I think that's just to get some more run through for the boys anyway. I think if he's dropped, then I think Luke Beveridge knows exactly what he's doing. So
yeah, no, I have complete faith in Beveridge as well. I was a bit skeptical when we hired him after the off season that we had, but
in Bevo we trust.
In Bevo we trust, exactly. Last point for this one: Nicky Riewoldt would be filthy at the end of this game. So many times he made space, but the execution into the forward 50 for St Kilda let him down. Fair to say that may well have been the difference in the game. I mean, there was 5 or 6 times. I know Easton Wood did come off his man, did a terrific job for the Dogs. But the delivery inside 50 for Riewoldt was, let's be honest, crap.
Yeah.
And I think the 2 marks that he did get, kicked 2 snap goals. So probably 50-50. I know a lot of the AFL players are really into their snaps at the moment. And the other one landed in the goal square. Josh Bruce kicked that goal and it was back in. But Nicky Riewoldt's got to be filthy with the delivery in this one, doesn't he?
You'd be frustrated. And when a game's that close, you tend to look at those specific stats and see exactly where it was lost, and that's a massive one.
I think at halftime it was 49 turnovers each. It was a really, really scrappy game. But, I mean, in the end, the Bulldogs had a 10-minute purple patch where they got it together, and that proved to be the difference, and St Kilda couldn't overcome it. So
the big news here for me, Rob, though, was that the Bulldogs managed to misspell assault on their banner.
We did, no A.
Pre-game.
Yep. Exactly. I like the Bulldogs banners. They're very witty, very, very rhymey, but spelling is important, guys.
Chest.
English is hard, though. Let's be honest. English is hard. A couple of goals to wrap this one up. St Kilda, Bruce kicked 3, Riewoldt kicked 2. The Western Bulldogs, no multiples for this, but sub Lucas Webb kicked his first ever AFL goal in the final quarter.
Well, it was 16th versus 18th heading into Carlton v Gold Coast, and it played out exactly as it should. Gold Coast looked like a team devoid of flair, especially after Dixon went down with an ankle injury. It seemed the whole game was structured around the big fella, who showed how destructive he can be. If he'd stayed on and stayed fit, I reckon he would have clunked 8. That's how good he was looking. I was impressed by another big fella, though, Matthew Cruiser. He's back, he's fit, he's firing, which is great to see for everyone around the league, not just Carlton fans. Obviously, we heard a lot over the weekend regarding Carmichael Hunt's admissions to police, whether or not they had an impact on the Suns. I heard some interesting comments on Triple M about a split in the playing group yesterday. The so-called God Squad versus the Party Boys, so I'm interested in seeing how that plays out. First of all, boys, I've noticed Chris Yaron. He clipped Paul Chapman earlier in the year and earned himself a 3-week holiday, but he's handy. Is he Carlton's barometer? When he plays well, Blues seems to do pretty well.
Look, he potentially could be. And back when it was the sort of trio, he definitely was a big part of it. But now he sometimes goes a bit unnoticed, I think.
I think also since Carlton have actually started playing well, I think there's less focus on him. I mean, Mark Murphy has been terrific in the last couple of weeks since Johnny Barker took over. There's a lot of attention on Gibbs, obviously, for that tackle as well. But the other thing is that forward line actually looks like it might almost be functioning now as well. So there's going to be a lot less attention on players like Yaron, who we all know can play forward, even though he obviously is trying his trade as sort of a running halfback. And he's actually been doing really well in that role. But, I mean, he is their barometer. Another one, I think, is Carrazzo. When he's up and about, I think he really lifts the team. Cade Simpson as well. When he's chopping on the back line, Carlton are just almost amazing, and that we saw that.
Yeah,
I think it was against Adelaide. He had that 10-minute break, and Adelaide kicked 4 straight or something. So yeah, I think there's a few players that when they all stand up, Carlton are really good.
Yeah, no worries. It was a pretty dire game for the Gold Coast. Let's be honest. They weren't playing at all well, and it's been the case probably for 14 rounds now, 13 rounds. So other than Gaz, who do you reckon Gold Coast are missing most? Obviously, Charlie Dixon got subbed out, but let me throw some names at you. You've got David Swallow, who's on the brink of coming back in. Dion Prestia, Jack Martin as well. Jaeger O'Meara, who's currently missing the whole season. Who are those do you think are going to really boost them next year when they look to make a charge towards the top 8?
Look, I think last year when Gold Coast were playing, had a pretty good start to the season. It was Jaeger and Gaz were like the kind of two in the midfield, a little bit David Toller as well. They were the really two in the midfield that were just getting the ball out pretty sensationally. So I think, I think Jaeger's a massive one. Obviously, Gaz is the big one. David Toller's, his leadership is pretty good around the ground. We know he's a pretty good leader. That's sort of behind Gaz, but yeah, those two for me.
Oh, it's got to be the nugget, Dion Prestia. Has to be. I when Prestia first came into the league, I was like, there's not a hope in hell this kid is ever going to get a game. Look at him. But he's turned into something amazing. And I know that once Swallow went down and a few of these other boys went down, he was the only person really doing anything for this Gold Coast midfield for a couple of rounds there. And obviously he got injured as well. But Dion Prestia has got to be for me. I mean, I agree with you, Swallow, obviously, the relationship to North captain as well. So he would have been getting leadership sort of that environment from a young age. But Dion Prestia for me, he's the one that I think can make the most impact when he comes back.
Yeah, so the Suns really going to need them blokes to step up. This year, we can all agree.
Anyone.
anyone for the Suns. But can we all agree that this year is going to be a complete and utter disaster for the Suns?
Oh, yeah.
I think I called it 6 weeks ago. I said this will be their most disappointing season ever. Injuries play a really large part in this. But beyond that, there's all the off-field stuff. There's the drinking the night before the game. Obviously, there's the revelations about Carmichael Hunt and the cocaine issues coming out now as well.
It's just getting worse and worse, really.
It's looking like a bit of a downward spiral. And it's all made worse by the fact that GWS is a year younger and they look to be flying at the moment. So it's all, everything's relative. And unfortunately for the Suns, relativity is going to kill them in this as well.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Rodney got given a big shiny box with a bow around it and unlittled it. And there's something not very pleasant inside. So poor old Rodney. Key performance for me, Carlton, Tom Bell had 32 touches and Mark Murphy had 32 as well. He really led from the front, Murphy. I think his last few weeks have been great. Tom Lynch grabbed 4 goals for Gold Coast, which is probably the only real positive they can take out of that game. Because Charlie Dixon, he kicked 3 while he was on. He looked very impressive. And Riscatelli played a lone hand in midfield. We spoke about who was missing, and obviously
everyone
but him. So obviously he was going to have to do everything by himself, and he ended up with 25 touches. Very impressive.
No, that's good. Gary says he will be back. 100% he'll be back this coming week. We all thought he was coming back last week.
We've been hearing these reports for quite a while now. It's next week.
Yes or no, does Gary play this week?
He better.
I think he should.
Yeah, after everything that's gone on, I think that would be a really massive shot in the arm for these
and
guys.
I mean, there's also lots
Mitchell
of
shot in the arm.
There's also a lot of negative media towards Gary's leadership and the way that he's going about his rehab. I think just for that club, there's enough spotlight on him. I think he needs to get out there and let his footy do the talking and just, you know, put this all behind him. So hopefully Gazza shows up this week. It's been too long since we've had the little master on the footy field. Now, wow, six That's games. That was a big week in footy.
Big week. Big for week. A bye.
Oh, I can't imagine starting to do this with 9 games. You're going to kill us every week. Look, few reports, which we might go into more detail a little bit later on as well. But now, time to pass it over to Sean. It is, of course, that time. It's time for the call.
I'm making the call. Get behind me, boys. Look out! Fire in the hole!
Essendon, they lost another game this weekend, and although it was to a premiership favourite, it is looking like their season has come to an untimely end. All the pressure and hype surrounding their highly documented supplement scandal looks like it has caught up with them, and it seems to be affecting them on the field. It has come up once again for a couple of reasons. Firstly, because of the Sam Mitchell taunt, which we talked about before, which where his injection taunt towards some Essendon players during last Saturday's match. Secondly, ex-interim and assistant coach Mark Bomber-Thompson has gone on record this week saying that Hurd's days are probably numbered and that there are some powerful figures in the AFL that do not want him coaching, so a sacking is inevitable. And finally, because James Hurd went on an overseas trip to Europe and missed a couple of training sessions during their bye week. Now, let's break these down one at a time. Firstly, Sam Mitchell's on-field taunt. Probably a little over the top, given the context. The funny thing about it is that if there hadn't been no action at all, we probably wouldn't have been a problem. He could have said whatever he wanted about it verbally, and we wouldn't be talking about it right now. He apologised after the game and said that it was a heat-of-the-moment type thing, and that if he had this time again, it probably wouldn't have done it. Fine. Secondly, Bomber-Thompson on 3AW this week. Now, he's free to say whatever he wants, but it is a bit of a stab in the back, I think, to Essendon and to James Hurd when the guy who took the reins when you were suspended for 12 months for the whole scandal is coming out and saying that your days are numbered. But he did it, and that is another reason why everyone is re-evaluating Essendon. 4-8 this season, 13th on the ladder, with only percentage separating them from Melbourne and Wooden Spooners St Kilda. Finally, James Hurd's overseas trip. Now, it was approved leave from the club in the bye week. The reason for the trip was for personal development. James finished a business course overseas. Now, this has a bit of a divided opinion. It was the bye week, and I guess he has got the right to do whatever he wants, but he did miss 2 training sessions, then came back and lost by 40 points to a team that they actually beat earlier on in the year. I think given everything that is happening right now, finishing a business course for your own development is showing the club and everyone that coaching really probably isn't the number one thing on your mind, and I guess that your heart really just isn't there, isn't with the team. Now, I'm not sure of the allowances of coaches and leave and all the specifics, but no one can honestly tell me that coaches like Ross Lyon, like Alistair Clarkson, like Nathan Buckley are going to take leave in the middle of the season for reasons other than their health. So my call this week is that Hurd's heart and mind is not in the best interests of Essendon. His direct actions have put Essendon in the firing line once again, and it is now taking its toll on the playing group. James Hurd needs to honourably step down now as senior coach before it turns into a messy divorce.
I'll agree with just about 90% of what you said there, Declan. Any thoughts on this whole saga?
Oh, look, James Hurd, much maligned figure. It seems like he can just do whatever he wants at Essendon. I'm not sure if you guys get that vibe. I kind of feel like he's the golden boy.
I think it's almost like the prodigal son. I mean, there was Voss, Buckley and Hurd that all sort of came into coaching after their playing careers were done with their respective clubs. How Hurd is still there and Vossie's out of a job at Brisbane is still one of the things that confuses me. I think Vossi's assistant at Port Adelaide. Uncle Hinkley, yep. How? I mean, that's well, the thing as well.
I think if you look at the team play, when this first scandal broke, Essendon had a pretty good year that year. They were undefeated for about half the season.
I think they finished fifth maybe.
So they had a sensational year. They won like 10 games in a row and they were looking really, really good. And it was everyone's like, oh, well, all this stuff happening off the field. How are you playing so good on the field? But now it's starting to look like it's really turned around when you're 13th, 8-4-8. So.
Yeah, exactly. No, and this is a bit of a thing as well. I mean, if Essendon had won, again, not an issue that Hurdy took the break, but, you know, they came out and they
What do you think about him going overseas? What do you think about a coach going overseas in the middle of the season?
I don't know what the players are held to. I mean, obviously, I know that they got 3 or 4 days off or whatever, depending on the scheduling. I don't have a problem with them necessarily leaving, but it does beg a question. You'd think, okay, even if the coach takes 1 or 2 days off, you'd think that he'd be back in there prepping and planning and doing all the behind the scenes work, but obviously Hurdy was out.
They weren't. Well, they had the week, so they've got Monday to Friday off after the game. They got after the game until Friday. They had a training session on Saturday morning, and that was the one that he missed. So he obviously went away for the whole week. But I mean, I just think it's just the timing of everything that's happening. It's just so unnecessary for him to go to Europe for something personal when everything's going on. And obviously the thing with Dank has come out this week as well. Yep. Everything's happening for Essendon and he's not even in the country.
Yeah, and the worst thing is that I think there's two sort of faces to this entire saga. The first one is Tim Watson, because obviously his association with the club. And he's been almost like an unofficial spokesperson for this club throughout the whole thing. The second one is James Heard. And regardless of whether you think guilty, innocent, whatever the findings are, he's kind of this face of... He's like the demon, almost. Mm. It's like, regardless of whether it's right or wrong, I think a lot of people put the blame on Hurdy. And this doesn't help his public profile or Essendon's public profile when it's like, oh, well... You know, we might have screwed up with that supplement scandal, but you know what? I'm going to take a business course, going to get my mind off it. And people are like, well, where's your commitment? And that's exactly what you're questioning. And again, that's fair enough.
I think it's kind of what Declan's saying. It's like Heard's thinking, how much can I do before I get fired? Let's just see how far we can go before they sack me.
And look, if you're going to take a trip to Paris for a business course that you could quite easily do in Australia, obviously it's going to... People are gonna start asking questions, and rightfully so. I mean, Bombers fans. If I was a Bombers fan right now, I'd be very upset. I mean, granted, they probably weren't expected to beat Hawthorn, but
the problem is that they beat them early in the year. That might have been the worst thing that happened in this context. Yeah. I mean, and let's face it, Hawthorn should have won that game. 3 more seconds. I think it was somebody was running into Gunston, an open goal. Maybe Gunston. And that might be be the reason.
What worries me is not so much... I think James Hurd can coach. I mean, we heard before how well they were doing. It's just the fact that what happened in that second half? That first half, they were great. The wheels fell off and they were done.
And I mean, everyone's blaming Hurdy, but this could well be just the accumulation of 2.5 years of crap being poured on the Essendon Football Club.
I think that's more what it is, yeah.
And I remember... It might have been last year, might have even been the year before, but Fremantle was still playing well. They're up the top of the ladder. Essendon came over and they held on for a really stunning win, and everyone was... It really galvanised the club, but I think you're also seeing the side effects of that, which is that everyone's just exhausted. And I said this 3 weeks ago, Essendon just needs to pack it up, send all their players on a vacation for 6 months and come back next year fresh and healthy. That's what they need to do.
Just like leaving the good news until after the bad news, we now turn our attention to Rob for his Hero of the Week.
Hero of the Week. Now, for my Hero of the Week this week, I've had to take a bit more of a season-long scope for things. Now, there are things in the AFL that I don't like to admit, especially when there are things I'm wrong about. As we enter the halfway point, look, all the bye rounds are over, and thank God for that. But I think we need to congratulate two teams, but one in particular who I slammed in an article on the blog earlier in this season.
Yes.
The first is Collingwood. They have played above my expectations. I think it's fair to say that no one really saw them being sort of top two for a while there, and obviously top four now. The second one, however, the one that I need to talk about is West Coast. Now, I was the first person to just jump on the trash and bash bandwagon early in the season, and I will fully admit that the Eagles have surprised me, and I have to admit, I was wrong. I was categorically wrong. I said they would fade badly, that their early season form was a fad, but I was wrong. They've stood up to all the challenges, and they've really proven that they are a great side. I'm not convinced on them making a derby final with Fremantle, but they are virtually a lock for the finals now, and they have a real shot at top four. And I think me and you, Sean, in our preseason predictions had them at 12 to 13 somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe that just shows how little we know about the sport that we follow, but they've had a sensational year. And to do all of it when their back line's basically been under siege or irrelevant. I mean, they're not there. There's just so many players that aren't there.
Early in the season when they had those two injuries, a winner, everyone's like, well, that's West Coast. They got no back line. Who's going
to
stop the
and
goals?
And the other thing is that they lost to the Bulldogs in round one. No one knew that the Bulldogs were actually going to be a half competitive team, and it looked really, really bad. But since then, they've really shown up. I mean, they had the loss to North, and they've lost to Frio and the Bulldogs.
Quick to jump on that one, Declan.
Everyone getting carried away about West Coast and saying Frio are off the boil. But I agree, West Coast have been impressive, but I still think they're probably going to drop off a little bit more. I mean, there's only so much they can do with the list that they have got. Adam Simpson's doing a wonderful job, but as far as people going, like, I've heard West Coast fans saying that they'll see us on the last or first weekend of October. Calm down.
You know what? I'm apologising and saying that I was wrong, but there's not a hope in hell the Eagles are making the grand final. I'll say that right
so
now.
So don't get carried away, Eagles fans. He's not admitting he's wrong as such. He's just admitting he's not as right as he thought he was.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm doing. So let's move on.
Here are the hottest points in the league as of today, Tuesday the 30th of June.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Of course, Buddy Franklin's report, he got 1 week. Boys, in a word, is it enough?
No.
No, yeah, definitely
exactly.
Not.
Does anyone think that's enough? Kurt Tippett, 1 week as well. In a word, is it enough?
Oh, I think it's about right. I think it would have been dropped to about one if he had got two anyway.
Yeah, I think with an early play, it would have gone from two to one anyway. So I think that's probably about right. Now, Declan, next point.
Stephen Dank's lifetime ban, do we agree?
I mean, the NRL did it before he was employed by the AFL, so it's almost like the AFL are playing catch-up here. I mean, I don't see how you could employ that man at another club, and I think the AFL has done the right thing for its image by just saying, not anything to do with you, get the hell away from our sport.
Yeah, so he'll move on to A-League now. Dan Hennebery, he re-signed with the Swans last week until the end of 2021, originally meant to be out of contract at the end of next season. He's made a huge commitment to the Swans, and where are they headed now? Is that a good signing? We happy?
The Swans have been, you know, around the mark for the last 10 years, and I can't imagine that any of their players are going to leave. Hennebery re-signing shows that he's got the faith that they can still be a contender for the next five, and Buddy's contracted till the end of, you know,
they're gonna have an old
time or something.
They keep making these long contracts. They're going to have a very old team.
Yeah, but they can't be as bad as Essendon, who bought in players in their 30s, everything's relative.
Although he's probably their best player in Essendon, got on.
Yeah, no, just quite then that's the problem, isn't it?
Adelaide defender Luke Brown, he signed a 2-year extension with the Crows. Now, look, it's a bit devastating for me. I think Danger is throwing more and more out with every signing.
With every player that signs, there's less cap room. That's part of it. But the other thing is that if everyone else is showing commitment in the club and Dangerfield, I mean, he might turn around at the end of the season and say, yeah, I'm staying, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
Declan? Is he going to swap the Toyota sponsorship for a Ford sponsorship?
It's a tough one. I think wherever he ends up, he's obviously going to be a great player.
Well, it's either Geelong or Adelaide, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd like to think so. I'd like to think that Freo definitely would have the cap room, but he wouldn't want to come to Western Australia, surely.
And do Freo really need another midfielder?
Oh, look, yeah. Right.
You know what, though? McFarlane retires, move Fife down back as a key position centre-half back.
Oh, who would do that? Who would ruin him? Who would send Fife down back?
Exactly. Now, action taken by the AFL against Sam Mitchell for the injection gesture. We gave him a stern warning. Just another way to save face, guys. Is that a load of crap? What do you think?
No, I think that's exactly what he needed. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to fine a bloke for doing something like that, then you're going to have to give out a lot of fines to many players in the AFL, because let's face it, some things can be construed offensive.
Was it more offensive or less offensive than the war cry from Adam Goods?
For me, it was definitely more offensive, because quite frankly, it was an Indigenous round. Adam Goods could do what he likes. I'm not really a fan of like dancing on the football field, but good on him. But I think, yeah, he's taking aim at probably something that is a little bit sensitive for, the Essendon boys.
The other thing is that, I mean, I thought maybe a fine, just a slap, like a token fine, slap on the wrist. I mean, stern warning's good, but it doesn't give the public the impression that they've actually done anything about it.
At the end of the day, I'm sure the football world would have banded together and paid the fine for Sam Mitchell anyway. Let's face it, we all enjoyed it. It's a shame to admit it.
Yeah. And the last point, the Adam Goods squirrel grab. Do we even need to address it, guys?
Oh, it's funny.
Did he do anything? No, but why was his hand there in the first place?
Look, he's silly. Like, let's be honest. He knows, for whatever reason, he gets booed. All he's doing is giving the crowd more ammunition.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Now, my favourite segment. We've never done it before, but let's try this out and see how it goes.
It's time to head on down to Safety Bay.
Yeah, give us the news, Declan. What's going on down in Safety Bay at the footy club?
Bloody Safety Bay.
Righto.
Get so around him.
We had a much-needed bye week this week.
Oh, yeah. Rest up.
Yep. Rest up and train up. And that's if we can actually get some boys training, that'd be lovely. I'm putting the call out there. If anyone's interested in the game of footy, come on down. The week before, we played against Codslow Roosters. I think they're a second-year club, and they were very impressive, actually.
They flog you?
Yeah, we were pretty dour. We were pretty dour indeed.
Injuries? Put it down injuries, or what are we talking here?
Yeah, injuries. We'll go with injuries.
Big Friday night, or what is it?
Yeah.
rough morning Saturday?
Friday night warriors just didn't turn up on time, I'm afraid. We are struggling. Last year, we played in two grand finals. So I'm not gonna sit here and say for a moment that we're spent. But yeah,
just a premiership
this year,
hangover.
That jump up in grades is really hurting at the moment, and hurting to the tune of 150 points a week. So
what are you guys now? C grade,
C4.
Yeah, C4. So we come straight up from E's to C. So we skipped D's entirely, thinking, "Yep, we got this.
We're fine." I think you guys will be heading straight back down to D next year.
unless we can, you know, really outperform, you know, the top six teams who have got a percentage of about 300.
Are you thinking one of the great comebacks in amateur football?
I'm thinking we're capable. So if everyone wants to keep their eyes attuned to the WAAFL Facebook page, I'm sure you'll see pictures of us holding the Premiership Cup. I'm calling it.
The goal.
Oh, God. Fair enough. Rightio. Time to move on. Dream team time. Now, guys, so let's launch that sting. So, Sean, me and you found out some pretty devastating news today. We came into the studio all of a sudden. We've been talking about our dream teams for 14 weeks. Declan rocks up and says, mine's better than yours, and I haven't even looked at it.
Look, I'm still a bit skeptical about Declan's dream. I haven't actually seen it on paper.
No.
I've just been hearing stats from him, so...
I don't know. Declan, what's your secret?
Jealousy is ugly. I just got to put it out there. Look, I had probably one of my worst weeks this week, so...
Turn it up. What'd you get?
16-16, I just checked.
16-16 in a bye week is your worst week ever.
Rob? I've had a few bad weeks, but that's probably my second best bye week that I had.
Okay.
And I unfortunately had the C on danger, so that cost me a few points. I had it on Fife, and then I had it on Neil. And then I had it on Swan.
Yeah. No.
And then I put it on Danger. So,
I've had my captain on Neil 1 week, and that was when he got like 56.
Yeah. That's why I bought in Fife, put Fife as my captain for a while, and lucky Neil got 150 the week that my Fife got 90 or something. I was like, oh my God. Oh. Jack Stephen, though, that's the way to go for your captain, guys. Really consistent performer, 110, 120 every week. So that's the way to go. Sean, what'd you get this week?
I think I beat everyone in this room. 16-69 this week, boys. Look, some big performers, but I thought I would have done a little bit better. Lockie Neary, 120. Pendles, 101. Nat, 510. Goddard, he was massive, 130. He was my highest.
He was the only
field
player Renaissance that showed up, wasn't he?
Yeah, without a doubt. Swanee with 110. Leuenberger probably had his best game of the year. He got 88, a couple of goals as well in the Adelaide clash. Tex probably a bit quiet, 88. Zorko, 97, a bit up on his average. Down back, not going too strong. David Mundy was my highest with 91. Camden McIntosh, he's dropped off a little bit from recent weeks, 25 this week again. Rob, your big performers?
Matty Cruiser.
Cruise.
Jumped on the bandwagon. 109 really delivered for me. So now my rucks are Blitzards and Cruiser. If they can keep delivering like that, I'm a bloody shoo-in. I can trade Billy Long and get rid of him. But look, not a lot of positives otherwise for the rest of the team. So
that's it. Well, we're back to normal next week, so we can come and regroup.
We might actually have a full team next week. So hopefully I can deliver something decent next week. Time to just about wrap this one up, guys. Before we do, let's make fools of ourselves and try and pick this week's winners.
Thursday. Another Thursday game. Liking these Thursday games. Footy almost every day.
What's the journalistic opinion on Thursday night games?
Look, it's a winner. I was at the Thursday night footy last week. The only problem is I woke up on Friday thinking it was Saturday. So that was a bit rough. Work ringing me at 10:30. Like, where are you? You meant to have been here an hour and a half ago. So, look, Thursday night footy, I'm a big fan.
Yep, big fan. They're getting decent crowds. We pointed out the Adelaide game got over 50,000. I thought Perth had let us down, but I think Perth actually showed
37,000.
37, yeah.
I mean, what is...
Capacity is 39.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And they were coming in late because of the work day. But they still came. They missed about half the first quarter, but they were still there. So
obviously, Perth being like, you know, a couple of months behind the Eastern States time-wise.
Just the 2 months.
We struggle... quite badly.
You know what? Change? Not our thing. Yeah. We like routine.
Daylight savings.
Yeah, exactly.
Sydney versus Port at the SCG. Look, Buddy out and Tiffett out. Paddy Ryder back in. I'm tipping the upset here. Everyone's going to hate me, but I'm going to go Port.
I'm still going Sydney.
Yeah, I'm still going Sydney.
Port, just... I actually think that Port could be the least convincing team at the moment. Not because they're not more talented, but just... You know what? Yeah. If Carlton were heading to Sydney, I would think, you know what? Carlton might cause a little bit of contest here. I'm looking at this and thinking, without Buddy and Tippett, I reckon the Swans can stand
no
up.
No go.
Yeah, nah, Swans for me.
All right, Friday night at the MCG, Collingwood take on Hawthorn. I think this would be a good clash, but I think the Hawks will be too strong for the Pies.
I'm going to be there, boy, so I'll have to send you some texts while I'm there. But yeah, I'm thinking the Hawks probably going to...
It wouldn't surprise me if Collingwood came over to Perth and, you know, did really well. And they come back, and of course, there's a 3-hour flight, so there'll be a lot of jet lag on those legs now. I reckon Hawthorn will come out and absolutely obliterate them. Hawthorn are hitting form, and if Ruffy can pick up 30 touches and kick a goal, my God, watch out, Collingwood. You're going to get absolutely annihilated.
You know what? Jordan Lewis isn't even playing his best footy, so once he gets back to playing he's playing. I mean, I picked him last week to have a big game against the Dons in the actual article. On my blog, 6 points. Check it out. But alas, he didn't get there. But this week's the week. Okay.
But just not to Jordan Lewis's usual standards. Richmond take on GWS at the MCG. Richmond sensational last week with that comeback against Sydney, and they will probably belt the Giants, I would think.
I'm 50-50 on this one. Richmond, they keep winning, but I'm not convinced by anything that
you never
do.
Know who's going to turn up, which Richmond team's going to turn up.
Well,
that's the problem.
It's like North Melbourne, isn't it? I'm going to tip Richmond just because GWS is just still injury over the place, so Richmond for me.
Yep, same for me.
Yeah, Gold Coast v North Melbourne at Metricon Stadium now. North Melbourne seemed to be playing okay last month, and they should beat Gold Coast pretty easily.
You'd think they'd beat Gold Coast. I'll tell you what, it'll be bloody disappointing if the coach comes back and they lose to Gold Coast.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to go Gold Coast.
I'm going to lock it in.
Let me listen to my reasoning, boys. If Gazza's come back,
yeah.
And the week they've had, we all know that turmoil can sort of either
bring them up,
bring a team together, or disperse them. But I think Gold Coast could do a number on the Roos, who might be a little bit complacent after their break.
I'm the exact opposite. Gary comes back in, everyone else is going to go, oh, thank God he's back. We don't have to do anything now. The club's going to be completely torn apart. I reckon that Gold Coast are in for a shellacking there.
Back to Etihad Stadium. Western Bulldogs take on Carlton. Western Bulldogs will be too strong for this one, even though Carlton's been playing okay.
Dangerous game for the Doggies here, guys.
Yeah, it's very dangerous.
I am going to tip the Bulldogs because, Declan, I'm not sure if you know this, but I tipped them to beat Sydney in Sydney and they won, so I famously proclaimed that I'll tip the Bulldogs for every game for the rest of the season, so I'm stuck with that.
You're a brave man.
I am a brave man. They've rewarded me so far in the eight. So
yeah, well, there you go. I'll have the Bulldogs as well, I think.
Bulldogs as well, okay. Yeah. Up north now to TIO Stadium. Melbourne take on West Coast. West Coast too strong. Any boys for Melbourne?
West Coast.
Okay. Essendon v St Kilda over at Etihad Stadium. Look,
St Kilda.
Oh, I reckon St Kilda. Yeah. Essendon with their slump.
If St Kilda can perform what they did against the Bulldogs, Essendon won't even get on the path.
I'm big on the Saints. I'll have the Saints as well.
Yep. Okay. Over to Adelaide Oval now. Adelaide take on Geelong. It'll be a close game. Adelaide are actually favourites here, but I'm going to tip the upset. I reckon Geelong will get the job done over my boys because they can't kick straight.
Yep, I'll go with that.
I'll go Geelong. Geelong as well.
Okay, final game for the round. Fremantle take on Brisbane over at Domain. It'll be an absolute shellacking. Walters will kick another bag and Fremantle will win very comfortably.
Hopefully Pav gets on the board as well.
I was about to say, Pavlich will hit the post 3 times and then he might kick a goal in the fourth quarter to the bronze cheers, which is bad. They shouldn't be bronze cheering, but Fremantle should should get over the line for this one. And that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is your dose of the 6 points for another week. Guys, anything you're looking forward to this weekend? Obviously, Declan just jet-setting across the country to Melbourne.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a hard life, isn't it, boys? Obviously, the MCG, and I'll be thinking of you boys as I sit there and
take in a lovely
game.
Yeah, what a lovely man. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or send us an email if you have anything you'd like to contribute to the show. We also have the blog, which is published on Mondays and Thursdays, so if you can't get enough of your footy, be sure to hit that up. I'm Robert Beaver. To my left, Sian Subra, and to my right, Declan Byrne. From the crew here at the 6 points, go out, have a great weekend watching the footy. We'll be back again next week, same time, same place, to break it all down again. We'll see you then.
Murdoch University is the provider of resources and transmission facilities for the 6 points podcast. The views expressed on the show are those of the individual and not necessarily those of Murdoch University or Radio Murdoch. All views expressed are those of the individual unless otherwise stated.